God is good. Amen. Well, you know, I might actually be slowed down a little bit tonight, believe it or not. You know, we come to rely on technology, and then when it doesn't work, we kind of forget how we did things before it came along. And I was at the house and had my notes kind of just written out in chicken scratch, really kind of, and was planning on, you know, kids are going to go back with Miss Maria. You can just follow her back. And I was just going to kind of type them out at the last minute. And then the last minute turned out that the computer didn't want to work right. So we didn't get a chance to type them out. So I got to follow my chicken scratch, which means I've actually got to turn to these things in my Bible. You know, I usually just have them typed out. And it makes me look smart because I just, you know, got them right there. But tonight we're going to be slowed down a little bit. Probably a good thing. Probably doesn't hurt. Amen. Every once in a while just to take things a little bit more measured pace. So turn your Bibles, if you will. We're going to look at a number of scriptures right up front. Go ahead and go to Romans chapter 8. And while you're going to Romans chapter 8, a couple of other verses, you might as well go ahead and stick your fingers in these spots. Or if you, like me, use a device, just be ready to go to them as well. Proverbs 20. And we're going to be talking tonight a little bit about how to be led by the Spirit of God, or I just simply call this tonight God's guidance. And several reasons why. Number one, I just kind of felt impressed by the Lord to go this route tonight. But also, in addition to that, just some things have occurred recently, not only in my own life, but just in things happening in the lives of other people that made me think that maybe it's just a good idea to go over some of these things again. And one of the things that I find a lot of people in the church are hungry for direction, but don't always know how to get there, don't know how to ask for it, don't know how to receive it, don't really know out of the information coming to them from many sources, what to weed out, what to heed, what to listen to. And oftentimes we're rendered like the world, just kind of living by our wits, trying to figure it out. And how many of you know, again, like we said last week, we're not strangers to the covenants of promise. We're not outsiders, we're insiders. But we got too many insiders living like outsiders, too many winners living like losers, simply because they don't understand the provision that God made for them. Imagine the greatest GPS system in the world that was never lost, never failed to give proper direction, and it cannot hold a candle to the one who lives on the inside of you. Did you know there is absolutely nothing the Holy Spirit doesn't know? Amen. From every hair on your head to every cell on your body, right down to how to fix a 1957 Chevy if you need help with that too. Amen. How many of you know He can guide you and lead you in literally every single stage and step of life? The good thing about Him too is He knows what's coming tomorrow. So He can tell you to take steps today that might not make sense because tomorrow's not yet on your radar. But yet He knows how to put you in position for blessings that He intends for you to receive next week, next month, or years down the road. How many of you know this really is a walk by faith? We walk not by sight, but by faith. And so much of the time, what we want are reasons why. And one of the things I found out about God is that He works on a need-to-know basis. And there's a lot of things He figures you just don't need to know. In my life, I've had to walk by faith and just trust God that He knew what He was doing, that the way He seemed to be leading, the way He seemed to be directing our steps was the right thing to do, even though I couldn't explain why we would do this or why we're going this direction or what sense does it make to move in this direction. And yet God knows. And then, you know, we can see the wisdom of God retrospectively. In hindsight, we look back and we say, oh, that's why. And now we rejoice and now we tell the great stories, but what we don't tell is the day before we were throwing a pity party and shaking our fist at God and saying, why does it have to be this way, when all He was doing was looking out for you and me. Can you say amen? And so sometimes we just need to trust that God knows what He's doing because He does. Can you say amen? So let's take a look at some verses here. We're going to look at about four scriptures right off the top and then kind of go into it from there. Romans 8:14. Says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Notice the word sons there, of course, is generic. It means sons or daughters. But in other words, the children of God are the ones who are led by the Spirit. And then down in verse 16, just a couple of verses later, he kind of shows us how that happens. The Bible said, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen. How do you know you're saved? Somebody says, well, I just know that I know. Well, that's true. But how do you know? I don't know. I just have we say sometimes a knowing on the inside. I just, sometimes we'll use the word feel. It's not really necessarily the best word, but I just feel it. I just know. It's that intuitive certainty on the inside because the Spirit, who is God, who knows all things, lives in you, and He's testifying to your own heart. He's bearing witness, if you will. How many of you know a witness is called upon to take the stand and tell the truth? And He is the Spirit of truth. He's the ultimate truth. And when He tells you you're the child of God, it's the greatest assurance that you have that you are. He's also the one who convicts the world that they're not. He reproves the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He lets them know what they need to do to make a move right. Can you say amen? The right move to move forward into His will, plan, and purpose. So as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. How does He do it? The Spirit Himself will bear witness with your spirit. Go to Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20, verse 27. Proverbs 20, 27. This is the, of course, the book of wisdom. And here it says, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. Another translation says, the candle of the Lord. Like one person said, if they had been writing this today, maybe they would have said, the spirit of the Lord is the light bulb. The spirit of man is the light bulb of the Lord. How is God going to bring illumination into your life? How is he going to shine direction on your path? Well, we know He does that through the Word. His Word, the entrance of His words give light. We can find general wisdom for our lives in the Scriptures. But what about those specific things? You know, the Bible will give us the general steps to take in life. Love one another. Tells us how to basically conduct our lives in broad terms. But how many know there's a lot of specific direction you need? Your name is not necessarily in that book per se. You got to get some specific stuff from the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? And the way God's going to direct you, the way He's going to guide you, is in your spirit. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. Knowing that, go to the last of the four that we're going to look at. We'll look at a lot of other scriptures later, but Psalm 18:28, just one book back to the book of Psalms, Psalm 18:28. And here the psalmist says, for you will light my lamp. Now what's the lamp of the Lord? What's the candle of the Lord? The spirit of man. But who lights the lamp? God does. You will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. You know, we use that phrase a lot. I don't know. I'm just in the dark. I don't know what to do. Well, there's good news. God will light your darkness. God will light your lamp. But we need to know what lamp we're looking at. Can you say amen? Sometimes we wait for the lamp of our friends. In other words, what our friends tell us. That's what we're going to do. Or we wait for the lamp of popular opinion. When everyone tells us, you know, this is the trend, this is the way that everyone should go, that's not what we follow. The Bible said, the spirit of man, down on the inside of you, God will give you His counsel in your spirit. And sometimes the way God leads you might be completely in an opposite direction of what everybody and their brother is telling you. Like we said, God has a wonderful plan for your life, or God loves you and everyone else has a wonderful plan for your life. A lot of people have a great idea of what you ought to do. Of course, you're the one that's ultimately going to have to, you know, pay the consequences of your decision or be rewarded by them. You know, they'll tell you what to do, then they go on and live their life, don't have to suffer the consequences of a bad decision. Can you say amen? But God will light your lamp. He'll illuminate your darkness and show you what to do. So all these verses basically testify to the same thing, and that is that we as the children of God will be led by God. That we can be led by His Spirit. And like we said, that's good news, because if I were to take testimonies tonight, I would imagine that all of us would have to raise our hand and say that we made a decision somewhere along the line in life that didn't work out so well. Can I get any? Yeah, I know. We're not going to take testimonies. It would be a long, long service, and I would probably be the longest among them. So we've all made decisions that went awry. Can you say amen? But the good thing is, as we said earlier, the Holy Ghost knows everything. Now, He's not going to tell you everything, but He'll give you wisdom according to your need. And like we said, you know, even the Bible says, you know, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And you know that in that day, the light usually illuminated only enough to get you to the next place. I like what the Spirit of God, or Jesus, actually in the vision, when Saul of Tarsus became Paul the Apostle, Jesus said to him, go into the city, and it shall be told you what you must do. In other words, take this first step. When you take that one, I'll give you more light. And I find a lot of people won't go until they feel they've had the security of knowing the whole plan. Lord, that's great. Can you give me step B? And it's quiet. And you say, is there anyone else up there? And we want a second opinion. And like we said, you know, Jesus isn't president. He's not doing this thing by the polls, not even seeking re-election. He's a man. Amen. So we're going to have to do this thing according to his rules. And you can shake your fist and throw a pity party and wallow on your back and kick your feet in the air. And when you get all done with that, you're going to still have to come back to the terms of the fact that God does this thing the way he sees fit. Amen. And we, like we said, it requires some faith. And so he's going to lead us step at a time. And as we do that, his plan will be unveiled. And like we said, oftentimes we won't have the complete picture. In fact, we might not have the whole complete picture as long as we're in this life. Can you say amen? Amen. I suppose that there's three primary ways that people probably make decisions in life. Number one is risk. How many of you know you can flip a coin? You can draw straws. You can say eeny, meeny, miny, mo. I was asking my wife that. How do you spell eeny? I don't know how to do it. But anyway, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. You can draw straws. You can flip a coin. You know what that is? That's risky. Because depending on which method you use, you got at least a 50-50 chance of missing it. I'm surprised how many people, though, that are even believers, that I've heard made major decisions on nothing more than, well, I was already kind of committed. I'd already said yes. You know, I just did it. Friend, there's some decisions you want a little more thought going into it than that. Can you say amen? Some things it doesn't matter. You know, I had the sandwich instead of the steak. You know, whatever. But how many know there are some decisions that impact our whole entire lives, determine the direction that we head from here, and we want a little bit more guidance and direction than it was tails. Can you say amen? So risk, and some people do that. They just, well, let's do this today, see what happens. That's not a good plan for life, can you say amen? Like I said, some minor things, you know, I've been to restaurants and thought I always wanted to try that. Turned out not to be something you wanted really to try, but hey, so what? But you don't want to do that on who you're going to marry, or even where you're going to go to church, or what city you're going to live in, or what job you take. How many know some of these things maybe need a little bit more direction, a little more guidance in life? Can you say amen? So risk is one way. The second way, a little bit maybe more sophisticated, but still has its problems, is reason. Reason. I mean, you can consult the charts, you can do the research, and you can consult with the experts. What's wrong with reason? Well, certainly God wants us to use our minds. I think a lot of charismatics checked their minds at the door and thought they didn't need him anymore because they got the Holy Ghost. And sometimes, how many of you know it would be good if we used some gray matter in some of our decision making? Can you say amen? But there's a couple of problems with simply going by reason. One thing is it really doesn't take into consideration what does God say about all this. You're just kind of figuring out what would be the best thing. How many of you know you're kind of bypassing the whole, Lord, what is your will in all this? The second thing is oftentimes reason really more appeals to conventional wisdom or the wisdom of men more than it does the wisdom of God. A real big problem with it is there's too many variables. You can have all your stats. You can have all your flow charts. And how many of you know they can all be obsolete by tomorrow morning? They don't know the future. God does. So reason is okay, but it's certainly not the primary way in which you want to be led. In fact, let me read you a verse. You can turn there if you like, but I think you're probably familiar with the verses. I'll just read them to you. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, your insides, your spirit. Lean not to your own understanding. Now notice this one. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. In all your ways. Now again, some people will take things to a dangerous extreme. Like I said, I'm not saying the pink dress or the blue dress. Oh God, what would you have me wear today? I don't really think He cares. Now, you know, maybe He does on a given occasion. And if you really feel strongly about it, do what you have in your heart to do. But when He says, in all your ways acknowledge Him, I would simply put it to you this way. Obviously, in what we would perceive to be major decisions, we don't want to do anything without having the peace of God in our heart. But let me just say this even about some things that seem mundane. There are some things that for God's reasons that we may not understand, He cares about more than maybe we think is warranted. Now, God, why do you really care if I do this or that? It doesn't seem to be like a major thing. But what you don't know is that you've got a divine appointment with meeting someone at this other place He'd really rather have you go. And so some of these smaller things that we may not think, even down to things like, I don't know why, I just don't feel like I should eat that. Or, and you don't know it, but the last person that did got food poisoning. I mean, there's a lot of things God knows simply that we don't. So I'll say this. While I want to be very intentional about seeking God about things that are obviously major decisions, I don't ever want to ignore that subtle, small voice in my spirit that might be warning me away or pushing me toward the smaller things in life that may not seem to have attached to them huge consequence. But again, God knows what I don't. Can you say amen? Now, like I said, I think some things don't matter all that much, and God might just say, hey, concerning this, do whatever you want to do. You know, there's a lot we're doing in the church, or things that we value in this church, that are in the mission statement, that are in the newsletters. God didn't say that to me, but He put it in my heart. It's in my spiritual DNA. And when He called me, He knew there were certain things in me that I would want to give expression to. It's still God because He put it there. But I can't say that on this day the Lord said, write this article. A lot of times I'll just share things that are on my heart. Some messages He gives me are right from Him. Other things, it's just been working in me. Is it God? Well, yes, in a general sense, because it's His Word. But did He say, preach this on this day? I don't know. I don't think it really matters all that much. And this is, I want to kind of put out a caution flag there, because I think some people get way too intense about this stuff. And they have no peace because they're worried all the time. Was that God? Was that not God? Was that God? Take a chill pill, honey. God is bigger than that. And if you do turn left when you should have turned right, the great thing about God is He knows all the back roads. Can you say amen? He'll get you there. If your heart, and here's the biggest thing I can tell you about being led by God. If your heart is right, and you're truly surrendered to Him, He will get you there. Now, it's always better to choose plan A. Because plan B oftentimes involves, you know what plan B is, don't you? It means, I know I should have done it God's way, but the first few decisions were mine. I paid the price. Now I know better. God, let's get back on the main road of Your will. Amen. And so it's always better to go God's way. There's a lot less suffering involved. I like what one person said. If it's God's will, it's God's bill. And there's been a few things I had to pay for because it wasn't God's plan at all. Can you say amen? So it's always good to be led by the Spirit of God. So always acknowledge Him. Some things might not seem all that big a deal, but, you know, there's a lot of things I just run by the Lord because I want to have peace in my heart. I want to know that I can step forward into it with confidence that I'm doing what God has told me to do. Good example of that on in my little life, and there might be a parallel for you. You know, this is a big book we preach out of, 66 volumes, and, you know, you got a lot of truths, a lot of subjects. And there will be times where I'll get a message, and it's a good message, but I'll go to the pulpit and I'll know intuitively, no, that's not tonight's message. And here's the thing that I've learned about that, the hard way, is that sometimes, especially in my younger years, I didn't have message number two, and it takes a lot of faith to go up there with nothing but you and the Holy Ghost and trust that whatever comes out is going to be good. And so there are a couple of times where I went ahead and took my plan B to the pulpit with me, you know what I'm saying, and just did what I had prepared to do, and had I really listened to God, I'd probably been a little more prepared than I was, but as it was, here I am, here's God, here's the people, they're expecting something good, and here's what I found out. God is not interested in blessing your plan.
Amen.
God's anointing and blessing and glory is on His plan. I've shared this story many times, but it will suffice for those who've not heard it before. And I'll skip part of it just to get to the meat of it. When Moses built the tabernacle, starting with about Exodus 25, maybe earlier than that, but He told him again and again and again, it's all throughout the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, build it, Moses, according to the pattern that I gave you on the mount. God evidently downloaded blueprints into Moses' heart as to how that tabernacle was to be built. We have them in the Scriptures. And He is so fastidious about build it this long, make it out of this particular fabric, out of this kind of wood. And the Bible said that Moses was faithful in all his house. He did exactly what God said. Now, the reason why that was important, Moses did not know this at the time, I'm sure. So, project of faith. But the tabernacle was a giant walking mobile type and picture of Jesus. Everything in it was symbolic and pointed to the cross. That's why it was so important that Moses not deviate. Now, when Moses finished the building of the tabernacle, the Bible said that the glory of God came and rested upon the tabernacle. In other words, God endorsed what Moses did because Moses followed God's divine specifications. Now, I have found in ministry, the Lord has spoken to me very specifically about certain things. When I was in my first church and I was learning to kind of flow with the anointing, there would be times I'd call a prayer line just kind of indiscriminately, hey, let's just minister to everybody tonight. You know, not a lot of forethought, not, hey, is this what God wants to do? Just, hey, let's do this. And you know what? God would bless it. But as I went out into field ministry, and as I began to grow and develop, and my sensitivity, and God began to require more of me, I noticed a lot of times I'd call prayer lines up, God didn't seem to have bothered to show up for. And so like Brother Hagin said, you're laying empty hands on empty heads. I mean, nothing happening. No anointing, no transfer of power, no apparent blessing. You only want to do one or two of those, you kind of realize, hey, you know what, let's just not do that. But then as God would give me wisdom and direct me to minister to this one, or gave me a word of knowledge maybe concerning a particular condition in the audience, and I call out, somebody here has XYZ particular condition, then there would be great power. Why? Because God endorses what He does, not what I do. God is under no obligation to bless my plan at all, but He will bless His. So when it comes to the Spirit of God on your life, the closer we can stay to God's prescription for us, His will, plan, and purpose for our lives, obviously the greater measure of blessing there will be on what we do. Can you say amen? So it's always good to endeavor with all we can to be led by the Spirit of God. So we can do it by risk, we can do it by reason, or here's the good one, this is what we want to do it by revelation. That's God-guided decisions. That's God's best for us. Can you say amen? Like we said, God's never made a decision yet that didn't work. You know, Paul said one time in one of his epistles, I think it's in Galatians 2, around verse 2, he was just talking about how he was led to go up to the city of Jerusalem. And he said, I went up by revelation. In other words, I just didn't go on my own. I went because God led me that way. You know, it's interesting in traveling ministry, like I said, I traveled for 6 years. And there would be times where, you know, hey, you got to fill up the month. And I don't have any particular leading or direction. I just call everybody I know. Hey, would you like us to come? Brother, we're going to be in your area. Would you like? And if they said yes, that was the will of God. And here's one thing you got to realize. It was the will of God for us to travel. So pretty much, unless God tells you something specific, anywhere you go is the will of God. Now, let me qualify that. Would it have been the same for another minister that's called a pastor somewhere to do that? No. Because he's already got direction for his life to stay put in pastor's church. But that was the will of God for me. So I had the general direction, go do this. Now, there were times, though, when God would specifically speak to our heart and say, go there. I remember one time I'm looking at this list of pastors' names and churches I have, and I had one highlighted, stars around it, another one circles around it, and right between those two was this little nondescript. I had no highlights, no markings, no nothing. And God just directed my attention to that and said, you're going to get a meeting there. I called that pastor and got a meeting. It was the will of God. But see, God knows who's open too. But I'm just saying that sometimes these things, there's just a general will. We just do what we know to do, and God blesses it because we're doing fundamentally what He said to do. But then there's other times He'll get very specific with you. Amen. You know, I remember thinking back into the Scriptures, Acts chapter 9. There was this fellow named Ananias. You might remember the name. Ananias is a disciple, the Bible said. He's a believer like you or me. So every day Ananias probably gets up, does his devotions, goes to work, kisses his wife goodbye, has lunch, comes back, plays with the kids, eats dinner, goes to bed, does the same thing the next day. Living for Jesus, living a good life. But then one day in his devotions, Jesus showed up. And he said, Ananias, today you're going to take the day off. Because today you're going to go to Straight Street, for there's a fellow named Saul I need you to have a conference with. And you're going to lay hands on him. I'm going to fill him with the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to restore his sight, and I'm going to send him as an apostle to the nations. How many know that's not an appointment you want to miss? And Ananias did exactly what God told him to do, and great blessing obviously ensued from that thing. How many know you can have the same thing happen to you? It's the will of God. You get up and you go to work and you live life and be a good Christian. But there's going to be days God says, go to the water cooler now. There's someone I want you to talk to. There's going to be days where He gives you specific direction. You want to be attentive to that. How is He going to do it? Just the witness of the Spirit. Again, the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit. I don't know what it is. I just have this impression. I just feel this compulsion. You know, maybe there's been somebody you've been witnessing to or inviting to church, and they've said no, and they've said no. They've said no so many times you quit asking. And then one day, as you're going out, you're in a hurry, you want to get home, and all of a sudden you think, walk by their desk. You just, no, not words, not a booming voice from heaven, just this impression. Just this compelling something in your heart that says. And you know what? Here's the question. What if they say no? Who cares? At least if you missed it, you missed it endeavoring to obey Him. But what if you do it, and that's the time they say, yeah, I'll come to your meeting. And they come, they get saved, their life has changed. You see what I'm saying? There's the general will, just doing what we know to do. But then there are times where God will get a little bit more specific with us. But in always we want to endeavor to the best of our ability to follow the Spirit of God and be led by Him. Can you say amen? Revelation, it's the best way. Can you say amen? When you're led by revelation, the good thing about that is your steps are established and you have confidence that what you're doing is the will of God. Now, let me tell you what I think the primary problem with a lot of people are. We probably won't get to all this tonight, but that's okay. Let me tell you what I think is the primary problem with a lot of people in the way they seek direction. They're looking, again, for the wrong lamp to be lit. Instead of looking for internal direction, so much of the time, people are looking for external signs. Now, let me just say it to you this way, and I mean this gently, but it's very true. Spiritual people tend to look more internally. Carnal people tend to look more externally. In other words, God, give me a sign. I want an angel. I want three of them, in fact, Lord, if you got them handy. Sky riding in the sky. Thou shalt go this away. Amen. Now, that would be great, but how many of you know it doesn't take a whole lot of sensitivity or dependency upon God to read a sign like that? That's kind of a no-brainer. But how many of you know that still small voice, that impression, that witness on the inside, that requires a little more out of us, a little more sensitivity, probably a little more time separated unto God, maybe shutting the noise of the world down a little bit, setting some things aside from the world and spending a little more time with God in His Word, in His presence, in prayer. Amen? You know, so many people, let me just put it to you this way, most of us that have been around the church very long wouldn't think about trying to get direction from reading our horoscope. We know better, because the Bible forbids it, for one thing. It's paganism, it's mysticism, it's prohibited from the Scriptures. And so we don't look to the stars, as it were. Isn't that right? They don't have any sense of direction or guidance for us, because, again, they're not the Spirit of God. But at the same time, I find that a lot of people are looking to other external things to lead them. You'll hear it like this. Lord, if it's your will, just let it happen. Lord, if it's your will, open the door. Now that almost sounds scriptural because we believe in God opening doors. But just an open door doesn't mean it's God. Amen. You'll hear it like this. Lord, if you want me to do this, then do this. What's wrong with that? Well, God didn't lead you that way. That's what's wrong with it. And here's another problem with it. Those doors you're talking about are in this natural physical realm. And the devil has access to them too. And there's a lot of doors he can open. I like what one fellow said. He said, you know, his pastor was pushing him to go to Bible school and he wasn't sure if that was the will of God for him. He was in Britain. So he said, Lord, if you want me to go to Bible school, have three double-decker buses pass by my window in 15 minutes. So he's waiting for those British red double-decker buses. He said, you know, after a few minutes, here came one. It's getting a little bit later into this 15-minute window he gave the Lord. Here comes another. He said, just before the 15-minute window expired, here came a single-decker. So he said, what does that mean, Lord? You're confused? You know, so the problem is God didn't send any of them by. Why are they going by? Because that's the way they needed to drive. Had nothing to do with God. Amen. Oh, I know it's the will of God because as soon as I did it, a bird flew across the sky. Okay? or I saw this, or I felt this funny feeling, or whatever. All these external things that have nothing really to do. What did God say? As many as are led by the Spirit of God. How does He do that? The Spirit bears witness with our spirit. That's how He leads. Amen. You know, convenient circumstances. Well, you know, I know it was God because I wanted to go there. All my friends got accepted to that school and I got accepted too. Might be the worst thing you could do. What is God saying to you? Just because the crowd's going right doesn't mean God doesn't want you going left. What's God's will for you? You're going to get that by the witness of the Spirit. I'll tell you this for sure. A lot of people are stepping through doors right now in their lives that they have a check. They don't feel good about it, but they want to do it. And the door seems to be open, so they're walking through. All the time having that something on the inside that's just going, eh. That uncomfortable, it's just doesn't feel right, doesn't seem right. But they're going to go, you're going to go anyway. Let me tell you something. What you're going to end up having to do is walk all the way back. from the last thing you knew to be what God told you to do. You say, well, it's too late. I've made this decision. I'm stuck. Well, then you're going to have to suffer until God. And you say, but I thought God's a merciful God. He is. He's one telling you don't go through that door. And sometimes we do things that are not, you know, well, Jesus loves me, died for my sins. Yeah. And judgment has fallen on him. But consequences oftentimes fall on you and me. Just because he forgives you the sin doesn't mean he alleviates all the consequences. And sometimes we have to suffer for a while till God can work it out and get us back in the center of his perfect will. Doesn't mean he doesn't love us. He still loves us. Still on our way to heaven. It's just that we had to learn the hard way. Can you say amen? And a lot of this, don't you wish we all knew this earlier in life? Some of this stuff we had to pay a dear price for just simply because we didn't know that's how God did it. And that's why, among other things, that we're teaching along these lines. Amen? Where is God? He's in your spirit. What is God? He is a spirit. You're a spirit being. You're one spirit with him. The Bible said he that's joined the Lord is one spirit with him. That's why the Bible said the spirit bears witness with our spirit. The spirit of man is a candle of the Lord. The Lord my God will light my lamp, my candle. So God's going to lead you. He's going to direct you. He's going to guide you in life through his spirit. Can you say amen? That's where light comes. It comes into our hearts. It comes into our spirits. Then our spirits illuminate our understanding, our mind. Have you ever had that moment where you're praying or, you know, I find this to be true a lot. A lot of times people are praying, they're just praying, they're praying, praying hard, praying. But I found out to me a lot of times when I get my mind quiet, when I'll just kind of be meditating, not necessarily praying hard, but just kind of meditating and thinking on the Lord. And just, I'm a thinker anyway. And so sometimes I'll just think and be kind of meditating on some things. Oftentimes that's when I'll hear the voice of God. And I don't mean like Randy. I'm talking about just that assurance. That conviction, that's what he wants me to do. And it's kind of like that little light bulb moment. And it's kind of like all of a sudden my spirit that has God in there anyway, all of a sudden light dawns and it comes up into my mind and suddenly I know what to do. I know exactly what to do. And I've had many, 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 many of those in my life. And if you're led by the Spirit of God, you'll have those moments too. Sometimes it's very subtle. Sometimes, you know, if you were to go back and say, Randy, when did you know you're going to be called into the ministry? I wrestled with that for a season because I couldn't really pinpoint the moment. There was just something in me that was, and now to think of doing anything else is utterly ridiculous. I mean, it's just, everything in me would revolt against what I'm called to do. But then it was very subtle. I guess you'd just say, I just kind of knew that I knew. How do you know that you're called? I just know that I know. Just that inward, intuitive thing. Sometimes we're subconsciously led by the Spirit of God, and sometimes I don't know if not, that's maybe not the best way to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen? Let me just kind of hit a few more high spots, and then we'll kind of close it down. I said that one of the things that is not the witness of the Spirit is just positive circumstances. The door was open. God opened the door. Like I said, the devil can open some doors too. So here's the thing about open doors. Paul said about going to Ephesus. He said, I'm going to stay here in Ephesus for a while because God has opened a great and effective door for ministry and there are many adversaries. Sometimes a door that God wants you to go through, you got a lot of devils guarding it. You know, Paul had a door open for him in Philippi. He had a vision in the nighttime, the Bible said. A man of Macedonia, which is Philippi is in Macedonia, saying, come over here and help us. And God was leading him to take the gospel into Europe. That's how it came into Greece, into Philippi. And that's how most of us got saved, because it came into Europe. And then from Europe, of course, over here to the United States. Well, here's a clear open door God's giving Paul. So he goes over there, and he and his team, they start preaching. They get one little gal named Lydia, a seller of purple, businesswoman, entrepreneur. She's by the riverside where prayer was wont to be made, the Bible said, and he preached the gospel there, she got saved. He's on his way to the temple at the hour of prayer, and this demon-possessed girl for several days had been following him around saying, these are men of the Most High God who've come to show us the way of salvation. Paul turned around, cast the spirit out of her, and all of a sudden the fellas that owned that little slave girl got mad because their means of making profit through her soothsaying, all of a sudden they're out of the fortune-telling business. And so they all mobbed Paul and his team. They were beaten, and he and Silas are put in the innermost prison, their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, the Bible said they're praying and singing praises to God. That's what an open door looks like, friends. See, we say, oh man, it all fell into place, and the money was there. And God can do that when it's an open door. But not every open door is cushioned. Sometimes they're tough to go through. Sometimes you've got to pray your way in. Sometimes you've got to fight to stay in there. Sometimes it's a fight of faith. But if God opened the door, you know the cool thing about that though, the prisoners, of course, they were listening to him sing. And of course, you know, God sent the earthquake. And all, the Bible said all their bands were loose, the prison doors were open. And the guard was going to kill himself thinking they'd all escaped. And Paul said, don't do yourself any harm, we're all still here. And of course, they were the ones praying and singing praises to God. Everybody heard that. The Bible said the prisoners were listening to him. So was the guard. Because he came and fell at their feet and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And the Bible said he and his whole house got born again. So now you got Lydia, a businesswoman, a good tither. Now you got a pastor, because church tradition said that guard became the pastor of the church. You already got a makings of a church right there. And if you follow Paul's ministry and read the book of Philippi, you'll see that they were the strongest financially supporting church that Paul had. Now, I guarantee you, when Paul was in that prison and Silas was looking at him and said, dream, huh? I'm sure he did not see the good that would come from that open door. And yet, time has proven that not only was it a blessing for Paul, not only was it a blessing for Philippi, but as I said, that was the access of the gospel into Europe. Paul was trying to go to Asia. The Bible said the Spirit of Christ forbade him. Why? Because there was a rendezvous in Europe. And you and I are a part of that rendezvous. What a huge door. And yet, how many times have doors been missed? Because Christians are just looking for, well, you know, God just, it just didn't all seem to come together. Couldn't have been God, because it looked like it was going to be hard. If God's put something in your heart, it's worth fighting for. It's worth fighting the fight of faith for. It's worth wrestling with devils over. Can you say amen? And coming up against a little bit. Let me just, two more things quickly and we'll close with this. Another thing that it's not is opportunity. Similar, but let me just say this. Now we'll qualify it. If you're looking for a job and there's only one, take it. But what I'm saying is a lot of people get where God wants them. And then the devil will seduce them out of the will of God by a job that makes $1 an hour more. But what they haven't bothered to look into is that it's in a place where there's no good church. They'll be leaving their family and support structure. I know there was a brother up in Northern California in a church that I was attending. And for whatever reason, he had it in his heart, I want to go to Montana. I want to live in Montana. Big sky country. I want to live in Montana. Well, he and his wife had come to the church they were attending in Northern California broken. I mean, their marriage was in shambles. They came to the church. God restored the marriage. They're on fire for God. But then guess what happened? There was an opportunity in Montana. And so he said, I'm going, Pastor, I'm going to Montana. So Pastor asked him, it wasn't me, it was another guy. He said, have you checked into the churches there? Is there any good strong churches? Because you know, when you came to us, your marriage was broken. You're on the verge of divorce. Well, but you know, Pastor, you know, kind of like those come hell or high water, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it because I want to do it. I want to go to Montana. Yeah, I'm sure I heard God because I said, you know, Shundai, yeah, I think God wants me to do it. Really, we just want to do what we want to do, and you know, so God said it was God, the will of God. Well, you know, ultimately, you have to live with that decision. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I can't tell you what to do. No pastor can. Well, they went to Montana, and they lost their marriage. Amen. Leading of the Holy Spirit is not just opportunities. God might, you know, there are some situations in my life I'd love to see change so I could give myself more to doing what I do here, but I wouldn't have peace with just doing it. I have to let God work out whatever it is He's working out, and yeah, every day I encourage Him to hurry. But I still have to follow the will, plan, and purpose of God. There's some things God does because it's what He's using to sustain you for now. And you know, we might look at one opportunity and think it's the greatest thing ever, but what we don't know is that when we pass up on that, because God doesn't want us to take that one, there's even a better one coming down the road that God does want us to take. Promotion comes from the Lord, not from forcing a door open or trying to make something happen. Can you say amen? So they are not open doors and they're not putting out fleeces. I'll just kind of, you know, sometimes people, what do you mean putting out fleeces? Well, it's kind of an Old Testament thing. Some of you will remember what putting out a fleece is, but Gideon was a servant of God in the Old Covenant. And how many of you know in the Old Testament, they didn't have the Spirit of God living in them like we do here in the New Covenant. That was something that was distinctive about our covenant. The day in which we live, Jesus hadn't died for men's sins yet, so they had God with them, but not in them like we do. And so Gideon was told by God to take his army, of 300 by the way, against the Midianite army of about 10,000. So Gideon said, Lord, I'd like a sign. I don't blame him. I'd like one too. Like 50 angels skywriting in the sky. This is what I want you to do. But what he asked him to do, he said, Lord, I'm going to put out a fleece, a literal sheep wool fleece. And if this is your will, I would like the fleece to be wet and the ground dry. Or something to that effect. So he prayed that prayer, woke up the next day. Sure enough, the fleece, he emptied it out and it was wet. The ground was completely dry. Good sign. He said, now Lord, once is good, twice would be better. I would like the ground wet and the fleece dry. So the next morning he gets up and sure enough, the ground was soaking wet with dew and the fleece was dry. And through those signs, he took that, yes, God indeed does want me to do what I already knew he wanted me to do, but now I feel better about it because I have these fleeces. People put out their own fleeces. We talked about some of them earlier, how three double-decker buses passed by. Or Lord, if you want me to do this, have Pastor Randy say something to me about it. And then when I don't, they get upset with me because they really wanted to do something and I didn't ask them to do it. So somehow I must have failed to hear God. When really what they should have done is had a little bit of courage and said, Pastor, this is what I feel God would have me do. Can you say amen? Amen? So there's a lot of things here and about, but you know, you can boil it all down to say, God ain't going to lead you out here. He's going to lead you down on the inside. And maybe one of the best words we can use for that inward witness is peace. And we'll talk more about it. We'll touch on this a little bit next week too. But follow the peace of God. Let it call the shots in your life. I don't care if everybody and their brother is telling you this is what you got to do. If you don't have peace with it, there was a gal who graduated from Rhema the same year I did, Bible school, same year I did. She already had a pretty big ministry going by the time she graduated. She'd already been out there in field ministry, and she's pretty well internationally known today. She was invited to be the bridesmaid for her very best friend's wedding. And as she's about to fly out there, the Spirit of God told her in no uncertain terms, do not get on that plane. Now, how do you tell your best friend, I will not be your bridesmaid in your wedding, days before it happens, just because I got a feeling? But that's exactly, she had an undeniable, just bad sense in her heart, do not get on that plane. Other men and women of God were scheduled on the same flight to go to the same wedding and got on the plane. And you know what happened? The plane went down and they were all killed. She was not. She was spared. Now, afterward, she's obviously vindicated for the wisdom that she took in following the leading of the Lord. But that's a very hard thing to have to come up with. You know, or maybe, you know, there's a lot of areas like that in a believer's life where we have to take a strong stand. And the thing is, a lot of people might have great ideas about what you should do. But you know, when you start to follow Jesus, you start to march to the beat of a different drummer. And you can't just do anymore what people... And if you always just did what mama said or daddy said or just followed conventional wisdom or you're a pushover, you got to get over it. I don't know how to say it nicer, but you just got to stand up on your own two spiritual legs and say, when the Lord tells me to, I will. But until, no. And even if you know God wants you to do something, timing is a huge factor in a lot of this stuff. And a lot of times you got the right idea, but you got the wrong time. Amen. And some of these things, you know, there have been so many people who've come to me and said, Brother Randy, these are my choices. What should I do? And I'm emphatic about it. Now, if it's in the Bible, you know, should I love my neighbor? should I, you know, be faithful to the house of God? Should I pay my tithes? If it's in black and white and red, I can tell you exactly what you should do. If it's in the book. But if it's not, and it's just one of those things where you need some specific direction, I'm going to be very slow to give any counsel unless you've given me enough information. Sometimes people know the answer, they just need someone to help them. You're telling me the answer right now by just everything you're telling me. And if I can help you hear yourself say what you need to say, that I will do that. But I'm not going to tell you, this is what you need to do. Because then when it goes wrong, guess who you're going to come to and say, why did you tell me to do that? I've had actually people upset with me because I wouldn't tell them what to do. But see, this is where we... And there's some pastors that are very type A, my way, the highway, and I guess they'll do that. They'll tell this is what you need to do. And don't get me wrong, I mean, there's some things that are obvious. But I mean, there's some things that you just need to hear from God for yourself. And I found this to be true anyway. There's been a couple of times I tried to tell people, this is what I think you should do, and I found out people are going to do what they want to do anyway. So the thing is, we need to be responsible for our own decisions, and there's nothing like the peace of knowing that I'm going into the wind, I'm going against the odds, but I know that I know that I know that God is in it, that God is with me. Amen. And when He is, you can't help but succeed. Can you say amen? Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for your word. We just pray for every and anyone here tonight that's maybe on the cusp of a decision. They've got some things to decide, some things they've got to work out. Do I, don't I? Is it right or left? Is it this or that? Is it him or her? Is it this job or that job? And I just thank you, Father, for giving witness and peace to their heart. Father, in so many occasions, we already really know what to do, but we just wrestle with doing what we want versus what you want. I pray that tonight some of those decisions might be settled, that they would walk on the sure path of your will, plan, and purpose and walk in the light as you're in the light. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Isn't God good?